بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین. I think we were talking about the consequences of forgetting God last time, and we came to that topic of shayateen coming to a person when they forget God. So this one we discussed, and whoever turns away from my reminder, he shall be a straitened life, and we raise him on the day of resurrection blind. We discussed this, and this one, whoever turns himself away from the remembrance of the beneficence God, we appoint for him a shaitan, so he becomes his associate. Now, we were discussing, is this a metaphorical language or a real language? Would Allah really appoint a shaitan for someone who forgets him? Or he just want to tell us that you will become like a shaitan yourself if you forget Allah? Now, you were supposed to give some thoughts to the idea and come back with some feedbacks. I don't know whether you have any thought about this or not, or you can think of anything now, that when Allah says He appoints someone, some shaitan, to don't forget Allah, what does it mean? We have another verse in Surah Maryam, I think, which Allah says this is very clear. Shayateen coming to someone who forgets him is very clear. Alam tara, do you not see? Well, of course, this is talking to the Prophet. Do you not see? Alam tara anna arsalna shayateen ila al-kafirin ta'uzzuhum azza. Do you not see that we send shayateen to kafirin and they stir them, they instigate them to do wrong things? We send shayateen to them. There's a very nice story about this verse. You know, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq had a very, very clever disciple called Muhammad ibn Nu'man. And he was so clever a theologian, as well as he was in the business of exchanging gold with silver. That time, exchanging meant exchanging gold with silver. And he was so clever in that if you took a piece of gold to him, before testing it, just by looking at it, he would say, this is poached. This is not gold. This is something similar to gold, for example. And that's why he had his shop in a place in Kufa, which was called Attar. I don't know whether that place exists yet. Still, I don't think so. But he was called Shaitan al-Tar because of his cleverness and shrewdness. And of course, the Shia were calling him Mu'min al-Tar. And he was a close friend of Abu Hanifa. Incidentally, of course, he was a close friend of Abu Hanifa. And they usually made joke with each other. And they knew each other's stance. Abu Hanifa knew that he was a close disciple of Imam Sadiq and very much sincere to him. And of course, he knew what is the position of Abu Hanifa. So one day, and all the time he was making a joke of Abu Hanifa, one day he entered the mosque Abu Hanifa was teaching there. And he said, ah, Shaitan al-Tar arrived. He's telling that he's a shaitan. He said, yes, I have come by the order of Allah, because he says, Alam tara anna arsalna shayateena ila al-kafirin, that we send shayateen to kafirin. He has sent me to you to instigate you to what's wrong doing. So, just to make the verse a bit more palatable, we send shayateen to kafirin to instigate them. And this one, this verse in Surah Zukhruf says that Allah would appoint a shaitan to those who forget him. What does this mean? Any idea? Would really a shaitan come to us when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would it? How? You become an idiot, but that is not a devil come to you, huh? Because the verse says a devil come to you. Actually, Allah appoints a devil to you, to be with you all the time. What do you at all understand by this verse?
Manifest itself into It manifests itself into the shaitaniyat. When you deviate from Allah, then your actions would be towards more towards evil. And
manifestation of shaitaniyat. But it doesn't say manifestation, it says we appoint a shaitan. Now, what the shaitan, this shaitan might be? I mean, it doesn't say appoints Iblis, the shaitan, to come to you. One shaitan is appointed to you, to be with you, all the time. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَسُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ Whatever you want to do, it diverts you from the right way, towards the wrong way. And then you think that you are doing the right thing. In fact, they put you in type of complex ignorance. You do things, they are completely wrong, and you think they are completely right. And you never can come out of that ignorance, because you don't think you are in ignorance at all. Now, what is shaitan at all? What is shaitan? Tell me, what do you know about shaitan?
As far as his power over us, he can only whisper to us. He can't make us do anything. So his power is only the power of suggestion.
But do we have only one shaitan? No. How many?
There isn't a number.
There isn't a number, isn't it? I mean, all of us can be a shaitan. Shaitan is an attribute. It's not a name. It's attribute for a creature. Means evil creature, shaitan. Okay. Now, Quran talks about two types of shaitan. Shaitan from ins and shaitan from jinn. Shayateen al-ins, jinn wal-ins, or ins wal-jinn. Yuhay ba'duhum ila ba'din zukhruf al-qawl. The shayateen who are from ins or who are from jinn, they go and whisper to each other. The idle talks. Whatever we talk about this world and our desires, aspirations, by forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is just zuhruf al-qawl, this is just idle talk. It has no reality. Okay? It says they go to each other and inspire each other with such words. Well, certainly, this shaitan coming to anyone who forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be of two types. Can it be of human beings? Can a human being be appointed to misguide us when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yeah. Well, if a human being can be appointed, it makes more sense that we are that human being that's misguiding ourselves.
But the verse doesn't say this, actually.
Well, because if you, for example, last week you were saying that even Rasulullah was asked, do you have this shaitan? And he said, yes, but mine has given up. So we all have it. Except that when you turn away from Allah, it becomes stronger.
We all have it. What do you mean? We all have what?
Well, if you call it an attribute, then it's our nature. We have in us a nature that will turn us towards evil if we turn away from Allah. If I turn away from Allah, all of a sudden, all these strange stuff may come into my head. Do this, do that, waste your time, watch this, you know. But if I turn towards Allah, then He'll help me remove them. So it's not the same thing.
It's an attribute. But does this attribute either goes to a human being or to a jinn or to an angel or whatever? Okay, shaitan. Of course, no angel will become shaitan under any circumstances. But when Allah says He would appoint a shaitan, it means it's not us, someone else. We have forgotten Allah and He would appoint someone to come and misguide us. or to stop us.
How much
forgetfulness?
Yeah,
well, Yahashu means to become completely blind of his remembrance. They cannot remember God at all. They do not remember him. They're completely blind of his remembrance. Or the previous verses, man a'arada an dhikri, whoever turns away from my remembrance, okay? It is completely want to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to talk about him. And, this means, dhikr means they have the original essence in them, but they don't want to remember it. They don't want to.
They pray in salah. They pray in salah. Still don't remember
Allah. I think, yeah. If even by praying we do not remember Allah at all, that shaitan would come to us. Now, this shaitan can be from ends. Yeah. I mean, if I forget Allah and a vile person comes to me and tells me things and I accept it because I have forgotten Allah, it could be my shaitan. He or she could be my shaitan, isn't it? But usually Allah does not appoint these things, these human beings. Usually a jinn comes to us, which is a shaitan. You know, shaitan is jinn. Shaitan itself, the iblis, is a jinn. Now, why they come to us? Well, actually, when Allah says we appoint for them a shaitan, it means that the shayateen are there. They are looking for someone whom they can distort in their ideas, in their thinking. And as soon as we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they find a place. And they come. And they start whispering, doing all types of things, giving false ideas, wrong ideas to us. They like it. I don't know why. I don't know why they like it. They like to do these things. And as soon as we forget Allah, the way is paved for them to come. And as soon as we remember Allah, they don't come. There are a few verses at the end of Surah A'raf. Unfortunately, I forgot to put it here. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا those who believe, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ when shaitan comes around them, they tazakkar, they find out. Soon they find out. They get angry, for example, with someone. They want to do something. But soon they find out this is not right. This is something being imposed on them by some extra force. Extraneous thing, so to speak. Okay. It's something imposed on them. They remember. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْسِرُ and then they see that this is wrong. They shouldn't do it. وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ but the brothers of shayateen. It means those who are very like them. يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيْرِ ثُمَّ لَا يُحْسَرُونَ they would drag them into darkness, into something which is completely against guidance. And they never give up doing that. They like it. They like to take human beings. Provided we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can do that. But if we do not forget, they cannot do it. Now I'll tell you a story about this. Usually we think when a shaitan, of course now we are going to areas which is a bit dark and murky. Usually when we think that when a shaitan takes possession of someone, they become some sort of epileptical personalities, they have epilepsy or something like that. But the most significant type of possession of shaitan is when you cannot think right. Now, I had a friend who can see these shayateen coming around people. One day he told me he didn't know anything about Quran. It was a very, very bright person, seeing many things. But, well, he was not educated. One day he told me, There's one thing which is bothering me very much, and I have no clue about it. And this has puzzled me about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I see when these shayateen come and take possession of the mind of someone, they completely distort everything. They completely destroy the system of their thinking. And they cannot think correctly. Then, he explained very much for me that what happens when they come and do these things. He said, I see that. I see that they come and do it. And I don't know why Allah lets it to happen. I told him there is a verse in the Quran which speaks about this. And I mentioned this verse. He did not believe it. He said, no, this shouldn't be in the Quran because this is exactly what I see. This is exactly what I see. I should have known about it if it was in the Quran. And I showed it. He said, show it to me. What's the verse? I showed it. He said, Subhanallah, this is exactly what happens. And I didn't know that it's written in the Quran. Now, sometimes, of course, such verses should be taken metaphorically. But sometimes they are so explicit that there is an interaction, a communication between different forces in this world. Evil existence goes towards evil. And you see, if you have rubbish, it attracts all sorts of flies and insects and such things around it, isn't it? It's dirty, it's vile, and it attracts these insects. If your mind goes vile, it attracts all types of shayateen to itself. You see? If you forget Allah, which is the greatest sin, if you forget Him, you have all these shayateen coming. It's like they thrive on it. It's like a kind of nourishment for them. They find a place, they go to it. And they take the most advantage out of it. As soon as we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is great. We have to really pray to Allah that this does not happen to us. Because then it's very difficult to get rid of it. Very difficult. Sometimes you find very, well, apparently pious people which go into this pitfall. I mean, you can say why, for example, the Khawarij took that stance against Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then you see, well, you hear in the history they were very sincere people, very God-fearing. But if they were really God-fearing, would God subhanahu wa ta'ala ever let such a great mistake to happen because of them? Such a great sin to happen because of them? I mean, could shayateen take hold of them like that? And we have to really rethink whatever we do. That sincerity, if sincerity is there, as the Quran says, a mu'min can never do very grave mistakes. Because it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. If shaitan goes, they are reminded very quickly. The alarm goes off very quickly when shaitan goes. Now we say, for example, about some companions of the Prophet. They were very pious, very God-fearing. But they did very extraordinary and terrible things. I never can believe that there was a sincerity. If the sincerity is there, these things cannot happen. Shayateen cannot take hold. If shayateen take hold, it means that مَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَانِ, they are blinded of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the shaitan goes, as if Allah appoints them. And then, well, according to this verse, what happens is the rule is anyone who comes first takes possession. You see, when shaitan comes. And if the first one which comes and attaches itself to you takes possession, no other shaitan will come. That's, you are theirs, you are his or hers, whatever. That's your life. And then, wherever you go, it is فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. It is just sticking to us, to him or to her. Doesn't let it go. Until the day of judgment. And the funny thing is that these two are going to be punished in one place in Jahannam. And they have to live together forever. And they hate each other because they are the cause of falling into Jahannam for each other. And they hate each other and they have to be with each other until they, we don't have until anymore. It is possible, yes. But it's difficult. I said, it's like illness. See, when it comes, you see, we have many infections, microbes coming to our body. And usually the body somehow protects itself. But if they are very strong, they take hold of you. Sometimes the effects would remain for the life. Sometimes you just drive them off. I mean, the body can drive them off. These shayateen are like that. Sometimes it's easy to drive them off. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the effect would remain even after they have left. So the only thing is we have to be careful not letting them in. And if they come in, then we have difficulty.
If you look at the scale of people's beliefs, there are some people who have perfect belief, Aima, for example, and then there are people who are very, very evil. But most of the people are in between. I mean, there's no absolute. And, for example, the remembrance of Allah, even if we try very hard, we remember, we don't remember, and, you know, we increase in our remembrance or decrease. At what point does shaitan attach or detach himself?
At a point when you cut that remembrance completely, that can come over you completely. And then you see people doing very funny things, actually. I mean, killing others is not something easy that a human being can do. It is against the values that Allah has somehow stored in our hearts or in our soul. I mean, where do the values come from? It's something which is installed in us. I mean, why killing others is bad? Why taking others' property is bad? It's just something that every human being knows is bad. It is there inside our souls. Now, this system becomes ill. Then you cannot see that it's bad to kill someone. Alright? And, for example, say these serial killers. They are completely in hold of those shayateen. But yes, of course, there are lots of protections, lots of, just like the body which has lots of protections against microbes. The soul has lots of protections against these things. And they are only let in when you completely forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, of course, that would happen.
So are we saying that once shaitan is attached to you, you are a gone case? You can't revert back to...
You can, of course, you can. Because they're not that strong, anyhow. You see, the other way, when humans possess jinn, they possess shaitan, they possess them. I don't know what's the way, how they do it. They possess them. But they can get themselves rid of that possessor. Usually they kill them. I mean, usually these people who possess jinn are killed by them. Okay. Now, human beings can also do, I mean, vice versa. I mean, when they possess you, you can get rid of them. But it needs effort to get rid of. But don't think, you shouldn't think that you have those shayateen around you. Now, at the moment. Yeah.
How do you know? You don't know that. You can see it. Sorry, I didn't know
that. You can see it.
You can see that.
If you look at that ayah, it doesn't so much say forget those who forsake Allah. I mean, forgetting is a very passive thing. This is someone who actively turns away from Allah, makes that conscious decision. Is that
what we're talking about? This is something else, actually. And probably this is the somehow prelude to those shayateen coming. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ be not like those who forsook. Of course, forsook or forget. Nesian is forgetting, actually. So he made them forsake their own souls, or, of course, forgetting their own souls. Well, we forsake our souls because we forget our souls, because we don't know who we are. Then we say there is no soul, it's just body. And then, of course, this doesn't happen to everyone. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Fasq is when you completely disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all respects. Of course, this continuous fasq that happens. Now, one other. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. This is a different thing. The previous verse says they forgot Allah. Allah made them to forget themselves. Now, here it says they forgot Allah and Allah forgets them. Now, this, in this verse, forsaking is a better term because Allah does not forget, He forsakes. So, they forget Allah, Allah forsakes them because they have forgotten. Again, you see, it's fasq which makes all this. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Because they are fasiqun, so Allah has forsaken them. Now, you remember this sentence of...
You know, in Ayat al-Kursi, Allah takes people from lightness to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Ayat al-Buddhism, Allah...
No, Allah doesn't take. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. Well, this is exactly the same
thing.
يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ.
What does you
mean? Shayateen, طاغوت. These are these shayateen.
And يُخْرِجُونَ means what?
They take him out of light to the darkness.
So it's the shayateen that are doing that, not Allah.
No, it says, أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ.
Okay.
There are these shayateen which are their awliya, they take hold of them. Wali is someone who has the hold of the other.
Okay.
They take hold of them and take them from light to darkness. يُخْرَجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. Now, you remember this sentence of, in the Bible, when Jesus was put on the cross, he said, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" Anyone has ever heard? Now, why did he say that? Because he was not Jesus Christ. Because he was that person who was actually crucified in his place because of the sin he had committed. And I think this is a true sentence being reported from that man on the cross that's saying, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" Alright. Now, what does this mean? Now, I bring all these verses, there are plenty of verses, just to bring that concept, because that this is a concept I know that you very hardly would accept from me. And shayateen would come to someone who forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here it says, اَسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaytan has gained the mastery over them. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. So he has made them forget the remembrance of Allah. أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون. They are the shaitan's part. Now, this is completely different from the other verse, isn't it? What's the difference between this verse and the previous verse? The first one we discussed.
Other way around.
Isn't it? It's the other way around, isn't it? How does it work then? Because that verse was saying that they, those who forget Allah, a shaitan would be appointed to him. Here it says shaitan takes mastery of them and makes them to forget the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does it work then?
So what is the verse before referring to over them? There must be a previous verse that's talking previous to this that's referring to them.
It talks about munafiqun and others who were opposing the words of Allah. It says istahwadha alayhum shaitan. Shaitan has taken
so referring to the munafiqun.
Yeah.
Is he trying to say that as soon as you give him the opportunity to come in, that is it, then he will never
let you to remember again. Yeah.
You're saying this is talking about the Fasiqun and the Munafiqun, but they've already forgotten Allah, otherwise they would not be Fasiqun and Munafiqun. You're saying this verse refers to those people who are, but that means that they've already forsaken Allah.
Yeah.
Already.
So the shaitan has come.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he would not let them anymore.
Come back.
So it will get very difficult. If you don't want to, I mean, if you want to be sure, never get a very hard disease in your body. So that's, you are sure that's, I mean, if you get a deadly disease and you recover, you are, well, it's difficult to recover, and then when you recover, it's difficult to find out whether the effects of it, the side effects of it are coming with you or not. And when these shayateen come, they have some side effects on the mind as well. Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm lost here, because they've already forgotten Allah. That's why the shayateen came.
Mm-hmm.
So how can the shayateen make them forget Allah when they've already forgotten Him?
This was my first question.
Yeah, but we haven't answered it.
Yeah. In fact, when the shayateen, because the human soul is directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And it usually wants to go towards Allah. Now, even after those shayateen come, human wants to go towards Allah, but they don't let anymore. But there's another meaning to this which I want you to mention, and this is very important. Can you answer your own question?
No.
The answer that I want you to give me. Anyway. Any answer. Now, first of all, you see, that appointment is a real thing. Okay. Now, shayateen, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said that shayateen are like bees going round the heart of the mu'min. And if they find a way, they go in. But they cannot. They don't find a way. The shayateen. Like bees going for something to seek the flowers and other things, they go to the heart of what they cannot find a way. Now, shaitan comes to us and wants us to forget.
This is the shaitan, is there a difference between, because here it's in the singular and there it's in the plural. Is there a significance to that explanation? That
yeah, a shaitan here means the big shaitan.
Oh, okay, so we are now talking about two different concepts. Yeah.
Okay. And this is the point, actually. The big shaitan. Shaitan comes to all of us, okay? Comes to all of us and wants us to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, okay, we resist. And how he does it? By aspirations, by pleasures, and all these things. I mean, we live in a society which is immersed in pleasures and we think, okay, this is a natural thing. It is not. It is something which shaitan has created here. We have to be very careful about our interaction with this society. Now, with all these, shaitan wants to make us forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we resist. Now, as soon as he succeeds, in making us forget Allah, this big one comes and wants us to forget. If he succeeds, then a shaitan is appointed. Does it make sense? If he succeeds doing that, then a shaitan is appointed and comes and sticks to us. So in fact, he's like a bulldozer, opens the way for other shayateen to come in. He makes us to forget Allah, and as soon as we forget him, shayateen can come in. Say, okay, this human for you, take it. Now this I'm done with it, you take, yes.
Sorry, I have a little bit of a problem understanding. So when you talk about the shaitan, you talk about Iblis. That came to Adam, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. But when you talk about shayateen, then where is this?
Small shayateen.
But
small
where
gems.
Did they come from? Who created them? Were they born to this big shayateen? I mean, I just want to have an understanding of the two.
Who are they? What are they?
I mean, what is this?
They are jinns.
They have been converted by shaitan to become.
Shaitan, yeah. I mean,
okay, fine.
Be converted to become shaitan. We are human beings, however. And we can bring great harm to others by becoming shaitan.
Okay.
Now, those jinns, they become shaitan.
How? And when did that happen? Did that happen after the incidents of the creation of man?
No,
or was it from before?
No, how? It's just when they forget Allah, they become shaitan.
How can jinn forget Allah?
How can? Oh, the big shaitan, the iblis forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can they?
So they are creatures similar to angels, but they're called jinn. And they have the potential to forget
angels.
Allah.
No, angels are...
No, angel meaning in a spiritual realm. What I mean is not...
Like our souls, okay. They have souls as we have souls.
Okay.
Okay.
And they don't have any bodies.
Yeah, they have bodies, but their bodies like air that you cannot see.
Okay.
Okay. And they have bodies that you cannot see.
Okay.
Alright?
Alright. And they exist in this world.
Yeah, they exist here, probably here. There are
almost all I'm sorry, but I'm having a wrong
interview. We do not interfere with each other.
We don't interact.
We do not interfere, and we should not interfere with each other's worlds. Okay? But they can interfere in our world as soon as we forget God. They come to our minds and stick to us. Like a microbe. Okay? Like a microbe. So, these are small jinns. Dhurriya. Innahu yarakum huwa wa dhurriyatuhu. Shaitan and his children. Okay? There are lots of children. You know, jinn are like human beings. They have marriage, they have children, they have death and all these things. It's just a different ummah from us.
And they're in this world.
Yeah, they're in this world.
But we can't see them.
There's
we
no
can't
other
perceive
world.
Them. Hmm? And we can't perceive them. We can't perceive them physically.
No, we cannot. No.
Some people can.
Yeah, some people can. Yeah, some people can. Yeah.
The guys, you said those who forget Allah. Now you mentioned that as humans we don't fall into that bracket of shayateen. But Would you classify those people who do forget Allah become shaitan or shayateen? Or is that a specific classification of that type of those jinns that forget Allah and then they become shayateen?
They become shaitan, okay. And if we forget Allah, we become shaitan. And we do the same things as they want us to do. Well, actually, they want us, it means that they just instigate, they stir, they whisper, they put something in our mind. They decorate it for us. That's all they can do. And if we follow, we become a shaitan ourselves. And sometimes we teach them things which they become very bewildered. That's how clever these human beings are. That we really don't know all these things. And they know, you see. So, yes, then we become Hizb al-Shaytan. I mean, what's Hizb al-Shaytan? Anyone who works for shaitan. You become Hizb al-Shaytan. You become working for shaitan. Yeah. Is that clear?
So do we have
like
good jinns and bad jinns?
Of course, yes. Lots of good jinns. Mu'min jinns. As I said, they're like us human beings. And it is strange that human prophets are prophets for the jinn as well. In fact, our book, Quran, is a book for them as well. So they would believe in either in our book or not in our book. And they have Christians, Jews, Muslims, probably Buddhists, probably of other religions. I mean, intellectually and spiritually, probably they are a bit inferior to human beings because they don't have prophets among themselves. And in terms of spirituality, they would follow human beings. And in terms of viciousness, human beings follow them. So you can now imagine what kind of creatures they are. They're more vicious than spiritual. And then Quran talks about probably Christian jinns in Surah Jinn. Probably these jinns were Christian because they say, well, what they say is that وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا. And when they heard, it talks about a group of jinn which listened to the Quran when Prophet was reciting it in his morning prayer. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, was unaware that they were listening. A group came and listened. And then they saw that this is a very, very important message. So they went and brought others. So the Prophet was doing his Salatul Layl probably, reciting the Quran. And this group came. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ. Say, it was revealed to me. So Prophet was unaware of all these things going around. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. A group of jinn listened. فَقَالُوا. And then they went and said to others, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. We have heard a very, very strange recitation. يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ. it leads towards completion, perfectness. فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. We have believed in it. So they went back to their people. And then towards the end, it says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدُوهُ. When he stood up for the morning prayer, the Prophet, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَا. They were everywhere in the mosque. I don't know, those of you who have gone to Mecca, Masjid al-Jinn, that was the place the Prophet was reciting. كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَا. They were everywhere in the mosque as they were pouring down on the Prophet, listening what the Prophet was reciting. Now, this surah says, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَمَا وَلَدَا. God has never taken a son. So, probably they converted as soon as they heard the Quran. So these were Christian Jews.
I heard that they were trapped by Nabi Sulaiman. I heard that these Jews were trapped by Nabi Sulaiman. They were imprisoned because they were being Christian during the time of Nabi Sulaiman. And when they heard the Prophet, then they were properly released.
Well, I don't think this should be very much reliable, because those jinns who were imprisoned by Sulaiman were really vicious ones. And they couldn't have been these type of jinns who, as soon as Lamma Samina, as soon as we heard it, we believed in it. So these were vicious ones, yes.
What's the reference in the Quran?
This is Surah Jinn. Okay, Surah 72. Sorry. 71, probably. Yeah. And then in Surah Ahqaf, Surah 46, it talks about different types of jinn. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. When we diverted some jinn, they were going somewhere, they diverted their route, and they bumped into the prophets. يستمعون القرآن فلما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا. As soon as they heard Prophet was reciting, they said, silence, silence, let's hear what is he saying. قالوا أنصتوا فلما قضي. When you finished your recitation, ولوا إلى قومهم منذرين. They went back to the people, warning them that yes, we have heard a huda, the guidance. قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى. We have heard the Quran which is revealed after Musa. So they do not believe in Isa. They are probably Jews. Jews probably. Okay. إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى يَحْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. It goes towards haq and towards the tariq. Now, it's interesting, in Surah Jinn, it says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رَجَالٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. There was some group of you folks, human beings, they are seeking refuge or help from us, from Jinn, from some of us. Of course, not from these people or these jinns, because they were good jinns. From some of us, and they would, instead of helping them, increase in their difficulties and hardships. And this is what we really see about those people who seek the help from jinns. And then he says, those jinns who do this, because not every jinn is prepared to make such a relationship, such a communication. He says, those jinns who do this, وَأَنَّهُمْ ذَنُّوا كَمَا ذَنَنْتُمْ. These jinns who do this, they think like you, that God is not going to resurrect anyone. They say there is no day of judgment. And that's why they do it. They do not fear Allah. So, exactly in the same way that it is not permitted for us to make this communication, it's not permitted for them to make that communication as well. But of course, there are kuffar there that they do it. There are kuffar here that they do it. And so they mix and make this type of relationship. And of course, these shayateen, those who are with shaitan, the iblis, they want to come and do this type of mischief with human beings. And the only protection that we have is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we take it, we are off shield, off guard, against the jinn who want to misguide us. Alright. Any question? I think this is enough about the consequences of forgetting God. There are lots of other consequences as well, but just the scary bit of it, the shayateen and jinn and other things which find their way towards our mind and our heart. Sorry?
When we talk about the shayateen who come to pull us away, is there another, does Allah, are there malaika who help us the other way or not really?
Yes, yes, of course. Malaika are always helping us.
Well, maybe you can talk about that so we feel better.
Well, we have in hadith that the heart has ears, like the head has ears, and it has two ears. One ear is whispered by shaitan, another ear is whispered by malaik. And in the same way that whisper to mischief, to whisper to us to do mischief and wrongdoings, the malaika whisper to us to remember Allah, remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all these things. And certainly the malaika are stronger. Certainly, because Quran says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. What they do is very weak. But the point is, we are weaker. Weaker than that very weak type of inspiration or whisper.
Sorry, I was saying, when did we do degrees of remembrance?
No, sorry, this is a wrong...
I was wondering, the three ranks of people, we haven't done that, have we?
Three ranks of people we did in different place.
Oh,
that's Ashabul Yamin, Ashabul Shaman.
Okay, okay.
Just one question on this shaitan and jinn.
But we haven't done degrees
of... Yeah, we will do that, inshallah.
What is the age of the shaitan, of the jinn, in comparison to number of years we live?
There are different... talks about it. I don't know, you cannot rely on what it is. Because there are lots of exaggerations as well. And like, we have exaggeration about the life of Adam alayhi salam, or the life of some of the prophets in the past. Or even about their physical, strength or constitution, height, since like this, for example, they say Musa alayhi salam was 30 meters long, something like that. Or Amirul Mu'mineen was 15 meters long. Because we think that if someone is bigger, is better. And about the lives of jinn, there are, of course, the same thing. I mean, some people say several hundred years. Some people say several thousand years. Some people say several hundreds of thousand years. So, it's very difficult. There was a story you were telling me about
someone... We heard it here, the same story. That's why I mentioned it. Mustafa mentioned it in his class, yeah?
Yeah,
well,
someone
one jinn
who
was
250,000 years. Yeah, so probably he knew everything right from the beginning of creation up till now. Have you heard about this story? Shahid Mutahari mentioned in his book Hamas El Hosseini. I think it's translated into English.
What's
about the reciter who went to recite in Muharram for jinn? You have not heard about it. He says, well, of course, he is criticizing.
Throwing
the
chairs and everything.
No, that's another story. In that story. Actually, these stories are mentioned by Mirza Hussain Nuri, the teacher of Sheikh Abbas, the author of Mafatih al-Janan. And Murtaza Mutahari has brought it in his book, criticizing the reciters, actually. He was very critical of the reciters, and saying that they are telling lots of false things about Muharram and Ashura. And he says that one of the stories is this, that sometimes a group of jinn, they didn't have a reciter. So they say, what to do? They went to a human reciter who was reciting very nicely. They told him, we are jinn. He was scared at the beginning, but they said, don't be scared. We are jinn and we want to make a morning for Imam Hussain. So please come and recite for us. And they convinced him, and he went and started to talk about some aspects of Ashura and Karbala, and then started to talk about Masail and other things, and everyone was just watching him without being impressed at all. Then he said, maybe these gens are very cruel hearted. Something like that. So I speak a bit more. So putting extra. A little bit more extra in it. And then he put that little bit of more extra thing and he saw that the smile is coming to their faces. He said, well, this is strange because in human world it's the other way around. I mean, they cry, now they smile. So he said, okay, let's go to Imam Hussein himself and how he was killed and the blood was coming and all these things. And when he was mentioning all these things, he said that these people are giggling and scuffling. And then he came down angrily. He said, if you don't want to mourn for Imam Hussein, why did you invite me? I mean, I have lots of other works to do. Why have you done this? They said, no, please forgive us. We don't want to be rude. We don't want to do anything wrong. But you see, the point is, we have a long life. We were there in Albert House. These stories that you are mentioning are very funny.
What's this book called?
Hamasei Hussein.
I think it's translated, I think.
Yeah, I think it's translated.
What was the translation? Hamasei means what?
The epic of Hussein.
The reason I asked was, when a person dies, they attach to Shaitan.
If I was to
say somebody was to die, what happens to that
Shaitan?
Does he stay with his soul all the time until the day of Qiyamah, or does he leave?
No, they will stay with them.
They
will be together forever.
Forever.
If they don't leave them. Yeah.
I'm to write it in
Farsi. Yeah,
Hamasei Hussein.
Hey.
Alif?
Yes, Alif.
Sin?
Sin, He.
Alif again?
No, He. Hamase, He. No, that's the end.
Oh, sorry.
No. Okay. The end, He. The end, He.
Small He. So, yes. Yep. That's it.
And Hosseini. Okay, now let's go to sweeter parts. The fruits of the remembrance. Now, you remember we talked about tafakkur and how important it was and how rewarding it was, wasn't it? I mean, 1 hour of tafakkur had the reward of 70,000 years ibadah or 70 years ibadah. Now, here in the hadith, we have at-tafakkur stands above tafakkur. Being reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? فَإِنَّ التَّفَكُّرُ طَلَبٌ. Because tafakkur is the search. But تَذَكُّرُ وَالتَّذَكُّرُ وَجُودٌ. The tafakkur is the attainment. You do tafakkur to find out about God, to find out how you could attain, how you could become closer and closer to Him. But tadakkur in itself is attainment. You are close now when you have tadakkur, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is more than tafakkur.
So is tadakkur the plural of zikr?
No, that's a verb.
So what is the exact meaning of tadakkur?
Tadakkur means to be reminded.
To
remember, yeah. To remember and to be reminded, tadakkur.
To remind yourself.
Yeah, remind yourself. Here, of course, tadakkur, nowadays tadakkur means to remind others. But here tadakkur means to remember.
And to remind yourself. So it's not for to remember somebody else.
No, not for others. For yourself.
For yourself.
It's remembrance, actually. Remembrance. Here it is remembrance.
Remembrance, okay.
Remembrance is above tadakkur.
So what is zikr then?
Now, what is better? I tell you.
Is it just chanting or just verbal recitation?
That's not attainment, is it?
No. So I'm trying to
understand. Do all those things to become closer to God. This tadakkur is when you really, really have brought His presence to your heart.
Okay.
This is
not zikr. Okay.
This is the tadakkur. You have brought His. Now, the best time for tafakkur is in Salatul Layl. And
tafakkur.
Tafakkur. Tafakkur.
Okay, sorry.
We have a hadith talking about Abu Dharr. He says, "Kana akthar ibadat Abi Dharr rahimahullah at-tafakkur." The most significant type of ibadah of Abu Dharr was tafakkur. Now, usually, we are told when you wake up for Salatul Layl, you recite these verses, these five verses at the end of Surah Al-Imran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of heaven and earth, and the coming and going of night and day are lots of signs for those with reason, endowed with reason, أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. These five verses, very famous ones, which the Prophet says, woe to someone who reads them and do not ponder on them, who recites them and do not ponder on them. Now, this is, you try to do, to think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You try to think about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how things work, about your own soul. And this is very good. Of course, this is the best type of tafakkur that you can do, especially at that time. Now, sometimes instead of doing tafakkur, just the remembrance of God comes to your heart directly. This is tafakkur. That's attainment. You have attained it. And that is, of course, different from tafakkur. Tafakkur is when you want to think about Him. Tafakkur when you have Him in your heart. So, at-tafakkur, fawq at-tafakkur. Now, this is a very, very sweet fruit of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sorry, I'll ask you later. Go on.
See, sometimes when you talk about these sweet fruits, but then you say, but only those very high people can get them. Are these some fruits that people like us can get, or is something we should think about? Only those high people can get them.
Well, those high people were babies sometimes. I mean, your children, like everyone else, they grew and they attained all these things. I mean, there's no high people or low people. Everyone are high, human beings. So everyone can attain these things. Yeah, why not? The only thing it needs resolve. And of course, tafakkur. It's a very important thing. That's, tafakkur is the prelude to all these things. Yes.
Is this a hadith or?
Yeah, this is hadith from, I think, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq.
Can you repeat the hadith when you said
that
Prophet said no to the people who do not do what?
Who recite these verses and do not ponder of it, these five verses. وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَاهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرَ فِيهَا. Something like this. These five verses, yeah, these five. Well, the whole Quran, of course, the same thing. But these five verses, Prophet specifically told about it.
And it's recommended when you wake up.
When you wake up, before starting Salatul Layl, you recite these five verses and thinking about it. And then it would help that tafakkur to come. Because that tafakkur is the beginning of the tafakkur. Ali Imran, just towards the end of Ali Imran, there are five verses. It's not exactly the five last verses, but probably three, four verses after these five, Ali Imran would finish.
Let me just tell you.
You know, I was going to ask you, I don't know if it's related, but somebody mentioned that there are two types of knowledge. One is conceptual knowledge and one is knowledge by presence.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering.
But that is by presence. That comes
is,
by presence.
Is this what you, is that yeah. The connection there? That's all I wanted.
That comes by presence.
So tadakkur is that knowledge by presence.
Well, it means many different things. But this tadakkur, which is above tafakkur. It's that attainment. Because attainment comes only through knowledge by presence.
Especially when you talk about it.
I'm
not sure somebody was complaining to me about this as well.
It is in this Quran, it is 190 to 194. The end of it is رَبَّنَا وَآتَنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ.
Is that why it's, we've heard in hadith that Salatul Layl is a sign of a believer? Is that why it is mentioned like that? One of the signs of a believer is that he
you see, all of us are believers.
Yes.
The but Mu'min is the
true believers, I
the
suppose.
The quality of that faith.
Yes. So, and it's one of the
with
signs.
Quality. The quality that Allah really is looking for. Yes.
And one of the signs of that is that the person is.
Salatul Layl, yes, of course. These are in the pack here. All of these are in the pack. You want me to tell you what page is it? It's on remembrance of God.
That's right. I'm wanting to ask this and I'm trying to bite myself. I did not have the same problem.
You can find all these from page 134 to page 140. To page 145 or 6. Yeah, 146.
But this one, the one which has the pages.
No, these pages are.
Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to find that one.
Which one?
That one.
That one I think is in another.
Okay.
Now this one I think is not here. I took it from somewhere else. Yeah, unfortunately this one is not here. Okay, this is a hadith from Kafi. Okay, the second fruit, which is of course lower than the previous one, which we mentioned. The previous one was attainment, knowledge by presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولْ مَنْ شُغِلَ بِذِكْرِ عَمْ مَسْأَلَتِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ أَفْضَلَ مَا أُعْطِي مَنْ سَأَلَنِي. Okay, it speaks for itself. One who is kept by my remembrance from asking something of me, I bestow upon him the best of what I have bestowed upon any petitioner that asks anything of me. It means, okay, sometimes we engage ourselves asking Allah different things. And sometimes we don't have time for that because we are just remembering Him, glorifying Him. We don't find time for that. And He says, Allah says, anyone who my remembrance occupy him in a way that he cannot ask me anything, I will give him myself what I never give to those who ask me. And this is like the hadith I mentioned from Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, sometimes I go to ask something from Allah and as soon as I start remembering him and glorifying him, I forget what I wanted. Well, he forgets, but Allah doesn't forget, of course. And He would certainly pour His mercy more than what He pours upon others. And certainly, it is the dhikr which is essential, not asking. Asking, even if we don't ask, Allah can can give us, isn't it? Now, you remember last week I said, we have to ask because Allah has put these things as a type of sweets to give us, to attract us. And then when we go to take these sweets, we become used to them. And then we remember them. And then that is much sweeter than that sweet itself. Now, someone who has attained this position of all the time remembering Allah, why Allah should wait for him to ask anything? He just pour his mercy upon him and whatever they need. Now, one other thing. The other thing, of course, what we mentioned about shaitan and all those things. مَنْ كَانَ ذَاكِرًا لِلَّهِ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ فَهُوَ مُطِيعٌ. Whoever really remembers Allah, they are obedient. It's not possible that they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَافِلًا عَنْهُ فَهُوَ عَاصٍ. And whoever forgets him, they are disobedient. Therefore, it is not possible for someone who is remembering really Allah to disobey him or to commit sins. It's only when we forget him, we start committing sins. And well, this is a great fruit as well. A great outcome.
So does that mean that this if can we take the meaning that isma is possible for humans then, or other than the awliya?
Yes.
I mean, I want to tie it in with that. Is that possible at a lower level? Obviously, I'm not talking about a higher level.
Yes,
of isma.
It is.
You know,
yes,
the great. You know what I'm saying,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I'm talking about the basic.
How do you place? Where do you place? Zainab salamullah alayha or Abul Fadl, where do you place them? Were they ma'soom?
Yes, yep.
But why they are not imams then?
Well, probably the degree of Islam.
So what does that mean? Aren't we, shouldn't we follow anyone who is ma'soom?
So in a way, do we not,
we don't follow Zainab.
No, there's only one imam.
Not in the form of what we say imam, but
there's only one imam.
At a time, no? I mean,
yes, there's only one imam at a time, but for example, there could be several prophets at one time. Okay, one of them is imam, but there could be several prophets who are ma'soom and who are hujjah, and you could follow any one of them.
But do we not appreciate them and use them as role models or?
Now, role models, we can take anyone. Imam Khomeini, we can take as our role model. That's different from becoming the hujjah. Now, there are two differences for ma'su. There are two meanings for ma'su. One meaning is someone who do not commit sin.
Okay,
that's possible for us to become ma'su. Okay, it means it is kept from committing sins. All right. The other is some people are chosen from among these ma'sumeen, okay, these who do not commit sin, to become hujjah and proof for others. In the sense that they cannot make mistake, God protects them to make mistake in understanding or conveying His religion. And this type of ma'sum are those who are hujjah. So, Imam Hussein is categorized in these people, but Abul Fazl is categorized in the
first category.
Former category. That is, those who do not commit sin, but they are not hujjah. We cannot follow whatever they did, or whatever they said is not a hujjah for us. That's why we do not report any hadith from Abul Fazl, because it is not hujjah for us. Okay? So,
hujjah meaning proof, right?
Proof, yeah.
So, in the first category, it's possible for other human beings.
For other human beings to become ma'soom, in that sense, not to commit sins. Well, of course, it depends how we define sin.
Sin as well. Yeah, so I was saying it's good to hear.
Okay, this one we mentioned last week. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. You will become completely assured in your heart because of dhikrullah. And then you tranquility, calm comes to you. You are never worried. You are never hesitant. You are never agitated. That's because you are always depending yourself on that great source of everything. So your heart is completely at rest. أشو الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم لذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
So this is not the state of tadabbur. Is that also about tadabbur, or this is something totally different now? I'm trying. Is that tadabbur as well? Is this talking about that you reach that stage?
Tadakkur, dhikr, yes.
So this is tadabbur.
Tadakkur,
sorry, not tafakkur.
Not tafakkur, yes. And this is actually this tatma'annu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. You remember the verse at the end of Surah Fajr? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsu al-mutma'inna. This is it, isn't it? The one who has become completely at rest. So it becomes completely at rest. It finds a type of calmness that nothing would ever bring agitation into it. Ah, this is the most important thing. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. God will remember us. If we remember Him, He will remember us. Isn't it? Now this is the most important thing actually. More important than all others. But more difficult to understand, isn't it? What does it mean? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So what does this mean then?
It says, I will remember you. So it's talking about a future thing. Day of judgment?
Day of judgment.
Because it says, I will remember you. That's how you translated it. So I'm assuming that...
No, it doesn't have that connotation of future. Now we have another verse which is completely... opposite to this. What verse is that? We mentioned it.
If you forget me, I forget you. If you forget me, I forget you.
Nasullah fanasiyahum. They forgot Allah, Allah forgot them. They forsook Allah, Allah forsook them. Isn't it? Fadhkuruni azkurkum. So, yes, of course, he still pours his rahmah on us, but the verse says he has forgotten them or forsaken them. They forgot Allah, Allah has forsaken them. Here he says, you remember me, I remember you. I think we have to leave this for next week.